Hold on.
Hello.
Hello, is that you taking your microphone out of your packet of crisps?
It was nearly we're off Fanko. can you hear me playing with the wire?
Hey. Is that what she calls it?
Wire, sounds quite big, actually.
I'll find out the score just as I'm touching down in Florida.
Hopefully I won't be touching cloth with the result either.
Hopefully I won't be either, because there'll be any turbulence on the flight, Derek.
Touching down and touching cloth.
Have a wee sip of Pepsi Max, mate.
I'm just doing that.
That's quite scary, I knew that, eh?
But as I say, I've got 52%, so surely that'll be alright, eh?
Hopefully, depends on how much you waffle.
How the hell do I even get out of Skype? Oh, this is a pain in the arse. I didn't even ken how to get out of it. How did I get out of Skype?
What do you mean, get out of it?
Like, log out on my iPad.
There should be a log out button.
There's no.
Just delete the app then.
That's cheating. There's got to be a way of doing it.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go. Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm extremely fantastic, Derek.
And why would that be, Dave? We're just going through the rigmarole here. I know exactly why it is.
I'll give you two guesses, mate.
You've just had sex.
No, that's a bit that's a bit too out there, I would say, mate. No.
Let me guess, you're going on holiday.
Derek, how did you guess, mate?
I don't know. Amazing.
And that's me. I finished work this morning. I've had about 3 hours sleep in total. I'm shattered. I've had a couple of beers, and I was starting to fall asleep there just before you contacted me, so I've had a nice strong coffee just to get me through the podcast, mate, because I would be in danger of falling asleep. No, that's got anything to do with you speaking. It's just that's just the way that I'm feeling now. you can slag me off all you want. I'm going on holiday soon.
Aye, good. Yes, so today is going to be a fairly short podcast, but we hope, because we only done one last week, but the next one after that will be a very long podcast, no doubt. So, so we've got two games to cover: the win against Livingston in the quarter final and the win against Aberdeen in the Premiership. So without further ado, we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
You're getting good at that.
I know, no mistakes this season so far. Oh, no, I think there was one at the first one, wasn't there?
Possibly.
I need to listen back. No. Just go on holiday already, would you? Yes, so Wednesday the 25th of September, it was a 1-0 win away to Livingston in the quarter-final of the League Cup. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Kamara, Jack, Aribo, Ojo, Morelos and Arfield. So on the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Katic, Halliday, King, Davis, Stewart and Defoe. And it turned out to be a more of a harder game than it really needed to be, didn't it?
I had a feeling it would be, Derek. We always seem to struggle on that pitch, let's be perfectly honest. It's always a really, really tough defence to break down. That, along with the surface, you know, that we've got to play on, I had a feeling that it would be a tight game, Derek, but as you're about to get into, thankfully, we came through in the end.
Yes. Before the game even kicked off, there was a few flares and flashbangs from the Rangers fans, and it turned out, I don't know if it was from that one or the one just after half time, where it injured a Rangers fan and a wee girl as well. Stuart Robertson has said that if the fans have been identified, which they've done with Scott, the Scott Brown incident, as well as the director's abuse at the Old Firm game, they will be banned instantly, and quite rightly so. I mean, I don't know how many times we need to tell people and say to people, other podcasts have done it as well, just wisen up. It's really stupid. You don't need flares and pyro to enhance the atmosphere at all. It's just ludicrous, and when people are getting hurt, it's just bang out of order, pardon the pun here, but just, you know, don't do it, please.
It's only going to heighten security as well, Derek. There's going to be searches made at every single supporter going through if this keeps going on. And again, at the end of the day, it's painting us in a bad light, isn't it? And we've went over and over again hundreds of times. If the media in Scotland, you know, can get the slightest wee thing to put a black mark on the name of Rangers, and their supporters are going to do it, and this just plays right into their hands, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And certainly, you know, I've always been a critic of strict liability, but it's, you know, working for Europe, it seems so, in terms of us, not for other teams, of course, which we'll get onto in a later story, but, you know, the SFA will hammer us if they can do, in terms of strict liability, if they can get that pushed forward. So it's only going to hurt the club, as you've seen, and it's going to hurt our own fans. So literally, you know, in terms of physically, and also in terms of not being able to attend games. So, but anyway, in the fourth minute, we got our first goal and only goal of the game, and it was Kamara that scored. There was a ball worked in from the right of the centre. Morelos tries to feed the ball to Ojo at the back post, but it was deflected out to the box to Kamara, who tried to place a shot on the left-hand side. However, it struck the defender's leg, and the ball flicked up into the right side of the net. So, bit of fortune there, but certainly a great start.
It was a great start, Derek, and, you know, more than what I thought that, you know, that we're going to do, I really did think that we would struggle, and it would maybe be a sort of breakaway type goal or, you know, something, you know, in the second half. But for us to score so early on, I thought, right, this is a great chance for us to go and get another goal and just completely kill the tie off. So, you know, as you say, absolutely fantastic start for us.
Yeah. And it only went downhill from there, though, unfortunately. a minute later, the Livingston player goes down in the box. Nothing was given. A very, very slight touch, if anything, but it was a correct decision not to give anything, from my point of view. 18th minute was a shot from Morelos from 25 yards, just wide of the right-hand post. And then in the 19th minute, it was a bad head knock on Aribo. Blood was absolutely pouring out of his forehead. He seemed to be caught by the elbow when he was jumping up for the header. He was bandaged up. The stretcher did come on, but he ended up walking off himself. Turns out he needed 20 stitches, and it was right to the bone. Nothing given for it whatsoever. Morelos as well, literally seconds before that, had been a very similar challenge by the Livingston player on him, and nothing was given for that either. I don't think there was any maliciousness in it. I just think it was a very dangerous, you know, way to jump up. I know you need to use your arms to gain leverage sometime, but he kind of led with the elbow. The same with the Morelos foul, as well, or non-foul, as it were. He led with the elbow, and this was the first in a long list of very strong, if not dangerous, challenges by Livingston that night.
Yeah, it was. And, I mean, that's it's a par for the course when we play Livingston, Derek. It's always like that. There's always, you know, it's always an incredibly physical game. Like you, I don't think it was an intentional elbow, but it was still an elbow, and, you know, potentially very dangerous as well, Derek, considering the amount of stitches that the guys had also, and it ruled them out the next game.
I think it's ruled them out for a few games, so we'll see if he's on the bench at least on for tomorrow night. But certainly he was pictured in training today with a big plaster over the top of his napper, and apparently he had a head, like one of these Peter Cech head bandages things on as well. So, anyway, he had to go off on the 22nd minute, and Davis came on for him there. 24th minute, there was a shot from distance from Livingston, but it was well over the bar. 29th minute, good play down the right with Morelos passing to Tavernier. Tavernier gets the ball to Arfield on the edge of the box on the centre, who has a blistering shot saved by the keeper and over the bar and out for the corner. It was a great shot, great piece of play, but probably a better save.
Yeah, definitely.
34th minute. It was an absolute shocking challenge in Goldson with a high studs. It was a yellow card. I've seen red cards given for them very easily. You know,
I know.
I don't know what you need to do to get a red card these days, unless you're a Rangers player.
Exactly, yeah. And unless you're Colombian and you play for Rangers, Derek.
37th minute, Livingston with a free kick over the bar from 25 yards. And the last piece of the half is 40th minute. It was a shot by Livingston just wide of the post. So certainly 1-0. Again, you've kind of got to be happy in some respects, but we had a few chances. One great save for the keeper. Weren't offering enough up front.
It wasn't a great game, Derek. There wasn't a lot of, you know, we had plenty of the ball, but there was no fluidity to our play. I thought in the first half we got the goal, which was great. We were going in 1-0 up. I was hoping that we were going to step up in the second half and get that second goal, because like I said, that would have completely killed it for me. Because I thought in the first half we were quite flat. But again, this is the type of games that we always get against Livingston, Derek. We never ever go to that ground and, you know, completely blow them away. It's always a difficult ground for us. Like I said, I was just hoping that we were going to up our game in the second half.
Well, I watched the second half back last night because I never wrote anything down of it when it was going on, because RTV was messing up. On that note, I have found a wee workaround using Opera, using their VPN, so it works that way.
All right, okay.
That's a one for the people who do that kind of thing.
Okay.
Anyway, into the second half, 47th minute, Livingston down the right-hand side, cuts inside and gets the ball into the box, hits a shot, come cross, and it flashes across the goal. A bit unlucky that for Livingston, probably more a wee bit fortunate for us there. 57th minute, there's a chance for Livingston with the ball floated in from the right, forced McGregor to make a save. It was right at him, he didn't need to move, but it was from close range, and it was more of an instinct save with his hand to get there. So, you know, once again, McGregor saving us there.
Yeah.
51st minute, Livingston tried to lob McGregor from the edge of the box, but it was over the bar. It started with a long ball lumped up the park towards our goal. It's something last season especially, we just never were able to deal with these long balls, not lumped up towards our goal. Maybe another one there that you could tally that down to.
Yeah.
56th minute, was a quick break up the park going down the right. Morelos drives towards the centre, passes to Ojo in the box with a shot, but saved by the keeper. 57th minute, Ojo down the left, gets the ball into the box, beating the defender, cuts inside, hits a shot, but the keeper had narrowed the angle and he saves, putting out for the corner. 60th minute, Ojo had a shot inside the box from the left, but it went well wide. 64th minute, Livingston break into the box on the right, takes it past goals and hits a shot at an angle, but it was narrowing and put it wide. 67th minute, there was a long ball into the box from the right, flicked on by the head of the defender to Ojo, who squares it to Arfield in the box, who has a shot, but it was a weak effort and a comfortable save from the keeper. And that was the main piece of play I've got in the second of the play in the second half. 71st minute, Kamara came off and King came on, and that's where the game ended. I think Livingston had a wee fleeting chance right at the end there, but came of nothing. So I obviously got to be happy through to the semi-final.
Yes.
As you said, not the greatest of games all round.
No.
We had a lot of the possession. Livingston hit us in the break a few times and shown they could have been quite dangerous, but largely we fizzled everything out before it got to the really serious stage. And once again, that's why we've got a great keeper in the back in terms of that chance in the 50th minute with his instinct save. So got to be happy in the end. It was, as Gerard said, it was a different way of beating a team this time. Teams are going to be stuffy all the time. We've got to find a way to unlock them. That's the story of this season, and we've said it time and time again. Not a lot will change this season, I don't think.
Derek, that game in particular, it was a cup game, very important, because we're desperate to get to, you know, the first cup final of the season for us, the League Cup. It's a trophy that we, as Rangers fans, expect our team to be winning, because we've won it so many times. It was going to be a difficult game, but we won at the end of the day. A cup game, all you want to do in a cup game is win, and we did that. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't a great game to watch, it wasn't a spectacle. You know, the goal we scored was fortunate, but we were the better team, Derek. We did deserve to win. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're through at the semi-final and we will be taking on Hearts in the semi-final. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it should be a good tie. We've obviously not played them in the league yet, so we've still got that to come. You know, they're not great now, so a lot can happen. It's to be played on the 2nd or 3rd of November. I think it's been decided, but Rangers haven't updated their website as per usual when it comes to fixtures. So 2nd or 3rd of November. So a lot can happen until then. We kind of thought, at the, you know, the weekend that Craig Levein was going to be out of a job, but he seems to be hanging on with a thread by getting results. So
yeah, I think the Edinburgh derby was big for him, but I think Hearts are finding it difficult scoring goals now, Derek. I think that's what their main problem is. So yes, I am confident that we will beat Hearts. You know, especially at Hampden, it's a huge game for us. It's it will be great for, you know, if we do get into the cup final. I'm fully expecting us to do so. I'm not trying to put a jinx on them or anything like that, but I would expect us to win that game and go through, and more than likely set up a tie against Celtic in the final. But let's just enjoy, you know, the supporters going to Hampden. Hopefully we get a good, you know, performance against Hearts, but I would like to think that we would win that game, Derek.
I would like to think so too, so we'll wait and see.
Yes.
So that moves us on to the next game, which was Saturday the 20th of September at home to Aberdeen, where we absolutely thumped them 5-0.
Now, it was a joy to watch, Derek, a joy to watch.
It was, considering they were a big bogey team for us last year as well, and really they didn't need to be, because we've said before for the last 2 or 3 years, they're not a great team. They're just a non-entity of a team who just happened to find a way to get the better of us, and, you know, they were shit against everybody else. So, but obviously the big incentive for us was going into this game was the fact that Celtic had drawn to Hibs in the early fixture, so a good chance to claw 2 points back on Celtic, more or less negate the Old Firm loss to them. It's something that we'd never done last year. Every time Celtic dropped points, we never capitalised on it. So fortunately, we managed to do that in some style this time. So we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Katic, Goldson, Barisic, Jack, Davis, Arfield, Ojo, Morelos and Stewart. On the subs bench, Fotheringham, Edmondson, Kamara, Defoe, Halliday, Barker and King. So obviously the two main kind of things, main standouts for them at the starting 11 was Katic back in and Stewart getting a start as well.
Yeah, I had a wee feeling about Stewart playing. Just because Aribo was out, Derek, I was saying to myself, who do we have as a sort of attacking midfielder come, you know, to link up, you know, with the striker, with, you know, Morelos up front? I was looking at the team and I had forgotten about Stewart, first of all, and I saw something on Twitter and I thought, you know, I bet you Stewart gets in this match, which he did, and I'm bloody glad that he did, Derek, because I'm sure as you're about to get in, he had an absolutely fantastic game.
Yeah, so from minute one we were just absolutely outstanding. I felt it was incredible to watch. I know it's only Aberdeen, but you know, you've got to look at the way of it. As I said, last year they were a bogey team, and you know, it was always going to be a tough game, or so we thought. But 6 minutes, it was a deep corner from the left. Morelos heads it back towards goal with Goldson getting a header goal bound, but it was looping and slow paced, and the keeper managed to gather fairly easy. 7th minute, Barisic to Morelos on the left. Morelos spins and hits a shot, but it was just by the post. 9th minute, it was a long ball over the top of the defence by Ojo, who comes across with a lovely take, drags the ball to the right, turns and has a shot, but it was over the bar. On the 10th minute, Stewart had a shot wide from 20 yards, and on the 18th minute it was a penalty given to us. Morelos had a drive and run into the ball on the right, clearly taken out and the penalty given. Who was it? Ewan Murray had the cheek to even turn round a few days ago and said, you know, even question it, you know, the way Morelos went down, you know, what actually was, how did he get hit? It was a clear takeout, he was hitting the knee. Did Morelos throw his arms up a wee bit theatrically? Absolutely, but that's the way Morelos is. Even if he's taken out or not, he does that. But this was as clear a penalty as you want. So
yep, definitely,
obviously big question was who was going to take it after Tavernier missing his last two. But up he steps, cool as you like, and he sends the keeper the wrong way. As I said in the reaction pod, made me a bit nervous because he's taken a very short two-step run-up again, which I never like. So, but no need to worry because he's taken it with aplomb.
It was, you say, Derek, it was a great start. Clear-cut penalty and coolly dispatched by Tavernier. He set us up for the rest of the match after that.
Yep. 20th minute, Rangers get the ball back and into the box. Lovely reverse pass by Jack to Morelos in the box, beating the offside. Morelos switches feet and takes one too many touches and hits a shot which was blocked and rolls towards the line, but there was no power on it and it was eventually cleared. Really unlucky that Morelos, if he had just instinctively hit it first time, I think he was just trying to switch it on his better foot, but it was unlucky nonetheless.
I know, I was quite surprised, Derek, because we know that he can, you know, he can absolutely batter the ball with both feet, you know. So I was quite surprised myself that it didn't take that first time, but it was still great to see him getting in there and desperate to score.
Mm-hmm. 37th minute, Arfield gets the ball in at the edge of the box, takes it into the box on the right and hits a shot. Keeper managed to save and push the ball up in the air. Ojo running in, collects the ball and hits a first-time shot, but it was too tight of an angle and hits the side net. And unlucky from the first one from Arfield in the first place.
Like I said in the last pod, Derek, Arfield needs a goal, doesn't he? He's having so many chances, he's having so many shots, and he's just no scoring. Now he's desperate for a goal. I think as soon as Arfield gets his goal, I think that'll calm him down a wee bit, I think, personally. But he's been so unlucky recently, he really has.
Yep. And the last piece of play I've got in the first half here was on the 39th minute, where we went 2-0 up with Stewart scoring. Morelos on the edge of the box on the right, passes to Tavernier, who plays a lovely floated ball into the box. Great header by Stewart, forcing the keeper make a great save, who knocks the ball onto the post. It rebounds out, and Stewart managed to react fast as hell, because he was running away from goal, I think, at that point. Changed direction, and he tapped the ball into the empty net. Yep. Brilliant all round.
Really unlucky with the first goal, Derek. The header was absolutely fantastic. So, you know, credit to him for that. You know, and the fact it got back, and exactly like what you said, he was, you know, leaning completely the opposite way. So how he was able to sort of flick round and get his body to move the completely opposite direction to get the rebound in was just absolutely brilliant. And delighted for him, Derek, because I thought him and Morelos were linking up so well, you know, really, really well. If Morelos was making the run, Stewart was getting in behind him, you know, to fill the gap that he was in, and vice versa. It was the first time that I've actually seen Morelos, dare I say it, work as a partnership with somebody and have that sort of understanding, which, you know, for it being Stewart's first full league game for us, was very impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. So, going into half-time, full of praise for the team because we were outstanding. Never let Aberdeen have an absolute sniff, which we'll get to in the after the game finishes here. But, you know, we got the second goal, and that always is the kind of tough one to get for us, certainly from last season. So good to see we got that, and, you know, pressure off at that point. But anyway, we kept on plugging away. 48th minute, Stewart has a shot from the edge of the box, forcing the keeper make a great save and out for the corner. A minute later, lovely ball over the top of the defence. Stewart with a first-time volley in the six-yard box, off the post, rebounds it out, but it was bent behind Morelos, and it was cleared by the defence. Instantly, in the next play, in the 49th minute, we went 3-0 up with Morelos getting a goal.
What a goal it was as well, Derek.
Lovely cross from the left by Barisic to the back post. Morelos running into the back post and a header right into the back of the net by Morelos. It was outstanding.
It was the everything about it, Derek. Barisic, I'm so pleased as starting to show that potential that we knew that he could be. With every game he's playing, he's looking better and better. The cross was absolutely sensational, Derek. It was right over everyone, and it came into Morelos, and it wasn't just your simple straightforward head it towards goal. Morelos got up and hit it downwards, but headed it so hard that it headed it down into the ground, and it rocketed up for the ground right into the top of the net. It was absolutely brilliant. What a goal it was, Derek. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it was showing us at that point how utterly dominant that we were in the game. It was tremendous play all round.
Yeah, just on Barisic there, you know, I think he's came out and, you know, said they admitted that he's not been playing or hadn't been playing well, but he's changed things about and, you know, it seems to be playing dividends. And, you know, you don't get a chance like this if the gaffer thinks that you're not going to get your place in the team. So I think he's realised that he needs to up his game, and yep, that position is his, because that's basically what he was signed for, that yes, left back position. And, you know, certainly over the past 3, 4, 5 games, he's been shown what he, you know, he is the player we've now signed. So it's great to see.
No, he is. With every game, he seems to be getting better and better, Derek, which is fantastic for us.
Yep. So on the 58th minute, Ojo came off and Defoe came on. 60th minute, lovely touch from Morelos, getting the ball in the box on the left to Defoe for his first touches. Managed to get a shot off after a couple of touches, but the angle was narrowing all the time and goes wide. So that would have been a great start to his game there. 67th minute, Aberdeen had a shot from distance and it was just by the post. 68th minute, Defoe slips a ball to Stewart in the box. Great strong play to get past the defender. Cuts the ball to Arfield, who has a shot. It was blocked by the defender. Back out to him, has another shot. It was deflected up and over the bar out of the corner.
It's just no happening for him at all, no. Derek, now, is it?
I mean, two games ago, this game, I think, in the last game, I thought he was actually bloody good. And previously, he was a bit iffy.
No, we said that, though, Derek. We said that, the last pod or the pod before that, that he's been off the boil for us. And I did say to you that I do think he needs a goal, but it's just no happening for him at all. But I do agree with you, Derek. He had a very good game, Arfield. He's starting to, play a lot better than he has been, but he is just desperate for that goal.
Yep. 68th minute, Morelos came off and Barker came on. And on the 69th minute, we got our second penalty of the day. It was a lovely delivery into the box by Tavernier. Stewart clearly bundled over in the box for the penalty to be given. And, you know, the Moon Howlers, as usual, having not seen the game, claiming, Rangers two penalties again, always going to be written. And a guy called up, Clyden. There was a clip going about social media. He got absolutely taken to pieces by the Clyde panel. Fair play to the Clyde panel there. They done it because the guy was just talking absolute nonsense. You know, even asked him, have you seen the penalties? Have you seen the instance? Do you think there were penalties? Aye, there were penalties. So what's your problem then? What's your issue?
It's just that's the reason, Derek. The only time I ever listen to Clyde is if I'm going anywhere in the car. I wouldn't normally put it on, because it basically is the amount of people that have got severe mental health problems that they allow to come on their show is quite incredible. And the vast majority is utterly laughable. It's complete paranoia, even though they keep saying that they're no paranoid. It's unreal. But as you say, it was another stonewaller of a penalty, Derek. No complaints whatsoever by, you know, any of the Aberdeen players or anything like that. A complete stonewaller.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said it before and I've said it again, Celtic fans seem to think that a penalty means an automatic goal. You just need to ask Samaras that, you know, it doesn't happen that way. You know?
Or Pierre Van Hooijdonk.
Well, exactly, you know, so. But anyway, less about them and more about us. Tavernier, I maybe thought he would have relinquished his second penalty of today, but no, up he steps and converts the penalty coolly. I think he put it right down the middle. So
right down the middle, yep.
Yep, so we went 4-0 at that point on the 70th minute. 75th minute, Davis off and Edmondson on. 78th minute, Arfield holds the ball up from about 20 yards out. It was a slight back heel for the on-running Stewart, who has a curling shot just wide of the post. He seen where he was wanting to put it, and he just about got it there. It just needed a wee bit more curl in it, and it was so unlucky. 80th minute is when we went 5-0 up with Defoe scoring. Arfield knocks the ball over the Aberdeen defence onto the edge of the box. Defoe beats the offside. The ball bounced high, however, Defoe was as alert as ever, showing how, you know, he's one of the top scorers in English Premiership history. On the half volley, he manages to lob the keeper and into the back of the net.
What the control and the vision from there, Derek, was absolutely brilliant. The way that he kept himself on side, he watched to see, you know, exactly the flight of the ball and everything that he got, and he just dinked it over the keeper for such a short distance as well, Derek. It wasn't as if he was way out, you know, on the edge of the box or anything like that, and the goalie was like really far off his line. It wasn't. It was at a really sort of short distance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the control and the judgment that he had to actually be able to dink the ball right over the goalie and then into the net, absolutely fantastic. And again, great for him, knowing that you know, he's coming off the bench and, you know, being able to score for Rangers as well is just is great. And, you know, the whole performance up to that point, Derek, was just utter dominance, wasn't it? The performance was tremendous. It really was, in my opinion, the best so far this season.
Yeah, absolutely, and can't rate that highly enough anyway, but the last couple of pieces of play I've got here is in the 81st minute, Cosgrove had a late challenge on McGregor and he picked up a yellow card for that. I mean, a lot of the media think he's an absolute darling and says, oh, he's a great striker, but how do we look into it? I think he's scored 13 goals in the Premiership this year so far, but 7 of them have been penalties, you know, so... You know, anybody can score a penalty. That doesn't make you a great striker. So, but anyway, it was a wee shite on that challenge. 86th minute, the ball was fed to Stewart on the right. Tries to curl it into the bottom left corner, but not enough curl and just wide. Another very unlucky chance as well. And that's what rounded out the game. So, as I was talking about in terms of, you know, stats, Rangers had 58% possession, which I felt was pretty low. I thought it was a lot more than that. But in terms of the shots, we had 27. Shots to Aberdeen's 4. 11 of them were on target to Aberdeen's 1. We had 14 off target to Aberdeen's 3, and we had 2 block shots as well. We had 7 corners in the game, and McGregor only had the 1 half save to make as well, whereas the Aberdeen keeper had 6 saves to make. So completely dominated them, and that's the kind of perennial loser that McInnes is. He's just, you know, he's a waster basically.
I saw I read something quite a while ago. I'm not sure if it was on something that David Edgar had wrote or said or something like that, and it was actually completely correct. The fact that he, you know, turned down the Rangers job, you know, to go, you know, at State Aberdeen, it has made him unsackable now, Derek, let's be honest, because, you know, they've done that, and we all said at the same, I mean, Derek, I still don't know any Rangers fans out there, honestly, who wanted Derek McInnes as the manager, and I can't think of anybody out there who was, you know, disappointed that he turned it down. We were all delighted, and still are, because we would have been second place for a very, very, very long time. And I know that we were second place last year and all that, but we can see the progression that we are making. And, you know, Steven Gerrard is turning us into a top team. We would be absolutely nowhere near that level under Derek McInnes. I've got no doubts about that at all. None.
No, it's one of the pieces of probably fortune that we've had over the past 10 years, isn't it? So
exactly, yep.
So that leaves us in the table, played 7, won 6, drawn 0, lost 1, scored 21, conceded 5, goal difference plus 16, and we're on 18 points. We're sitting in second place, one behind Celtic, who, as I said, drew against Hibs there, 5 ahead of Motherwell and 7 ahead of Aberdeen. So Motherwell doing great so far. But I don't really care, and it shows that there's a gap between Rangers and Celtic and the rest of the league already.
Yes.
Opened up after only, you know, 7 games. So
no, we spoke, Derek, on a couple of pods, you know, ago after the Celtic game, and you gave me the list of the teams that we were playing our next 4 games, and I said to you that,
we should be looking to bounce back and win all of those games, and we have done so, Derek, and we've done it, you know, quite convincingly, which is, you know, fantastic. It shows that the players have really, you know, taken account of themselves after that Old Firm game, the disappointment of that, and we have bounced back, and we've bounced back with, you know, quite some, you know, the performances have been excellent. I mean, that last one, the performance in Europe as well, also, you know, absolutely fantastic. And we really just have to think back to the Old Firm game now, where, like we spoke about it, the manager, you know, got his tactics completely wrong. If we'd have went out, you know, with different tactics, you know, possibly a different team playing on that day, and we'd have got the victory, we would have been well ahead by this point as well, Derek. So, you know, it is looking positive at the moment, and I don't know, you'll be able to tell me the games that we've got coming up, you know, that we've got over the next few weeks, but here's hoping that we can keep that momentum going now, Derek, starting, you know, tomorrow night in Europe.
Yeah, so I'll need to run through all the games in October, because we're not going to have a podcast out until probably after them all.
Yes.
So, obviously, tomorrow night or tonight, when this pod comes out, Thursday the 3rd of October, that's in the Europa League away to Young Boys, that's a 17:55 kickoff. Saturday the 5th of October, that's at home to Hamilton in the Premiership, that's a 1500 kickoff. My God, a 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff.
I know, incredible.
Another 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff the following weekend, it's the two weekends after that, because they've got the international break. Saturday the 19th of October, that's a 1500 kickoff away to Hearts, so we'll find out kind of how good they're going to be, yes, against us. Mm-hmm. And then it's Thursday the 24th of October, away to Porto in the Europa League game 3, that's a 17:55 kickoff, and you come back that night, Dave, don't you?
That's right, yes. So we've got a few tough games there, Derek. Certainly the league games, we should be looking to win both of those league games, Derek. These games are in Europe, right? It's great. The game tomorrow night or tonight, by the time the pod comes out, this is going to be a very, very difficult game, Derek. But I am really looking forward to it, because I don't think there's any pressure on us here, Derek. I honestly don't. They, you know, Young Boys are the strong favourites. Apparently they play on an artificial turf as well, Derek, and they've not been beaten in over a year at home on this turf, so they will fancy themselves. But I'm really looking forward to see how we play and how we, you know, we match up against, you know, a top team, because we did it in the last game where we were absolutely fantastic against Feyenoord. We really were, and I'm really looking forward to it. No pressure. So, you know, if we were to go out and get any type of result in this game, it'll be absolutely fantastic, and here's hoping that they do it. Yeah. The game also away to Porto, a massive club in European football. That's going to be a real test as well. But again, Derek, no expectations, I don't think, on us at all, which is great. So you just go out, enjoy it, go for it, and who knows, anything can happen. But this game tomorrow, I'm honestly really looking forward to it. I think we're on a high. I think our confidence is sky high as well, and, you know, it's I think it's going to be a cracker. I really do. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's the age old thing in Europe. You know, you've got to take the 3 points from your 9 points from your home games and get a draw away, and then, you know, you kind of should be through by that point. I need to correct myself though, Dave, because the Rangers website is absolutely atrocious. They haven't updated anything, and I said that the dates of the game's wrong there. It's actually Sunday the 6th of October at home to Hamilton, that's a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then Sunday the 20th of October, it's a 12:15 kickoff away to Hearts. So
right, okay.
I can't believe I'm having to use the BBC website over the fucking Rangers website there.
There you go.
Somebody needs their arse kicked for that one.
Shocking, exactly.
Obviously, Dave, we're going to be missing all the four games in terms of the podcast there.
Yes.
And then the next game after that is Sunday the 27th of October at home to Motherwell. And then the game after that is Wednesday the 30th of October away to Ross County. That's a 19:45 kickoff. So hopefully either between the Porto and Motherwell game or between the Motherwell and Ross County game, Dave will be able to give you know, get some time to get a podcast out as well.
We'll certainly try, mate. We'll certainly try.
You're trying, all right, aye?
Very trying, yep.
Yeah. So, that leads us now into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
So, Dave, you've got a match against some cheating bastards to cover, haven't you?
Derek, a first on the iReady podcast classic match section is... Or I believe it's a first. You might have to correct me here, but this is the first time I'm covering a game where we actually haven't won in the 90 minutes. Derek, we actually drew this match, but it is a game that will go down in history, especially for, you know, all Rangers fans. I would probably say over the age of maybe, let's say, 35, you know, onwards. Basically, the old bastards out there. But it is the very first Champions League group stage, which we obviously took part in. The game was played on the 25th of November 1992. Derek, now, going by my calculations, that would... that made you, what, about 11 years old or something like that, is that right? Or
1992?
No, you would have been seven years old, just coming up. Okay, so I'm not expecting you to remember much about this, Derek. I certainly do remember it, because that night we were playing probably the best team in the world, on paper, certainly. And we all know about what happened after that and the fallout. But certainly, going by the players who were on show, you know, it was the best team in the world that we were playing when we were drawn in the group stages to play Marseille, who at the time, like I said, were absolutely phenomenal. Now, the Rangers team that night, a lot of very familiar faces there, some of the best players to ever play for us within the last even 30, 40 years, in my opinion, going first of all by the greatest goalkeeper that I've ever seen play for Rangers, and Andy Gorham. Rangers had a few injuries, and the big absentee for us during this game was Ali McCoist, who was our talisman up front with Mark Hatley. He unfortunately had to miss this game out, so already we, you know, on paper it looked as if it was going to be a tough one, and it was. So the Rangers team that night: Andy Gorham, Neil Murray, David Robertson, Richard Goff, Dave McPherson and John Brown, Trevor Stephen, Stuart McCall, Ian Durant, Alexei Mikhailichenko, and up front Mark Hatley. On the bench for Rangers, Stephen Presley, Ali Maxwell, David Hagan, Gary McSwagan and Davy Dodds. For Marseille, they had, now here are some really famous players, both in international football as well as European football. Fabien Barthez, Anglima French international, Dimeco, of course, Basil Boley that we all know, Frank Sozzi, one of, you know, at that period in time, one of the best midfielders in the world, Cassone, Alan Boksic, absolute phenomenal striker he was, Rudi Völler, German international World Cup winner up front, Abedi Pele, and then Didier Deschamps and Marcel Desailly. Now that is a team and a half, Derek. So Marseille, of course, were favourites on the night. Like I said, Ali McCoist missing for Rangers. Ibrox was a complete sellout. The noise was unbelievable. And straight away, Marseille showed their dominance in the first half. An early shot from Frank Sozzi, which was deflected wide for a corner kick. From that corner kick, it was swung in, cleared by Richard Goff, thankfully. Then a few minutes after that, Mark Hatley, a great ball to Alexei Mikhailichenko in the edge of the box. He puts it back to Stuart McCall, who chipped the ball through to Ian Durant, who just caught offside. Absolutely brilliant run by Ian Durant. That was his job that night. Because McCoist wasn't there, he was the one that was expected to make those last-minute runs from midfield to try and support Hatley up front, but really unlucky there. Then a foul by Desailly on Neil Murray on the right wing. free kick, which was then taken by Trevor Stephen high into the box. Mark Haitley goes up above everybody, up with Barthez. The ball falls because Barthez didn't get a clean catch on it when he went up with the challenge with Mark Haitley. It falls straight for Alexei Mikhailichenko, who shoots inches wide. So it was a fantastic chance for Rangers, but still 0-0 at that point. Going into the 21st minute, a pass from our defence, unfortunately, to Rudy Voller on the right-hand side of our box. He completely turns John Brown on the edge of the box and hits a curled low shot, which makes Andy Gorham pulls off a fantastic dive and saved and then cleared. 25th minute, great interplay on the wing. Trevor Stephen to Neil Murray, back to Davy McPherson, who put a great cross into the box and a header by Haitley just past the post. Great chance. So Mark Haitley being the main threat at that point, winning absolutely everything up front. But then, unfortunately, 31st minute, Marseille took the lead.
That's what they're by Richard Goff. This is Rudy Voller. John Brown's with him. Goff's going in there again, and they've left a gap. And Boxeach scores for Marseille. That was dreadful defending by Rangers.
Fabian Barthez with a long goal kick into the Rangers half. And unlike him, Richard Goff completely misjudges the header. The ball then falls to Rudy Voller, who was on the wing. He turns and puts a chip pass straight into the middle of the box, right in front of Alan Boxeach, who hits a low sort of short pass past Andy Gorham to make it 1-0 to Marseille, you know, and kind of silenced the crowd slightly at that point. But Marseille going 1-0 up. Richard Goff at that point was struggling in the game. You could tell that he was injured. He played on the 44th minute, though, because of the play by Richard Goff getting injured. We were very lucky not to go 2-0 down, because we gave the ball away in our own half. The ball was played to Abedi Pele, who shoots and actually clipped the bottom of the post and went out for a goal kick. So we were actually quite lucky to be going in 1-0 at half time. It was turning into a bit of a struggle. This was a top quality team. That was our captain, had just been taken off injured as well, so things weren't looking good for us. So in the second half, Stephen Presley had to come on and replace Richard Goff, and it was all Marseille at the start of the second half. All possession play, interchanging play in midfield was fantastic. Didier Deschamps was bossing it completely, and it was really difficult for Rangers to get back into the game, especially on the 56th minute when Marseille actually scored their second goal of the game.
Marseille keeping Rangers pinned inside their own half. This is Brown, gives it away to Deschamps. Rangers fans are clearly unhappy. This is Eric Dimeco. Susie. Follows in there with Presley. Well, a disaster for Rangers. Rudy Voller makes it 2-0.
So it was interchanging passes for Deschamps. Picks up a loose ball and runs into the Rangers half. Plays it to Voller, who puts it out to Eric Dimeco in the left, who, you know, the left back, into Frank Sozzi, who floats in a hopeful ball into the box, and then an absolute mix up with Stephen Presley and Andy Gorham. The two of them go for the same ball. Presley tries to clear it. Gorham tries to save it. It ends up a slithering underneath Andy Gorham and just sort of sits right on the goal line. And Rudy Voller just runs up, rounds the goalie and just taps the stationary ball into the net. A complete shambles in defence for Rangers. It really was a complete mix-up. And Marseille, you know, were high and dry, or so they thought. It was great to see, because Rangers actually went for broke after that. Free kick on the right-hand side on the 60th minute, taken by Trevor Stephen into the box, punched away by Barthez, only as far as Mikhailichenko, who put the ball back to John Brown on the penalty spot. He shoots, and there was a last-ditch clearance and a clear-hand ball also by Desai. The referee pointed to the spot initially and then looked at the linesman and quickly changed his mind, which was, you know, obviously Ibrox was going bananas at this point, absolutely mental. Clear penalty, he had given it and then he changed his mind at the last minute, so really felt hard done by there, and maybe that's, you know, another factor for Rangers bringing it back on, because there was a carbon copy just a few seconds later, free kick almost in the same position, taken by Trevor Stephen into the box. It wasn't cleared. The ball this time fell to Alexey Mikhailichenko. He has a shot. It deflects off of somebody back to John Brown again, almost in the same position as he was before. Another shot and another chance which is cleared off the line. Still 2-0 to Marseille, but Rangers definitely putting the pressure on. Then on the 70th minute, Mikhailichenko on the left-hand side to Murray. Then back to Mikhailichenko, who puts a cross into Mark Cayley. It's cleared to Rudy Voller this time on the left wing. He sprints down to the edge of the box, gives the ball to Alan Boksic, who beats John Brown and shoots. And an absolutely fantastic save by Andy Gorham. Keep me at 2-0. It was a tremendous save by him. I just showed he was the best keeper out there. I couldn't think of a better goalkeeper than that, Andy Gorham, at that stage. Fantastic save. Still 2-0 to Marseille. 75th minute, Walter Smith went for it. Trevor Stephen came off, who had a very good game, and he brought on young striker Gary McSwagan. And only a minute later, on the 76th minute, Rangers had a lifeline.
Durant, Pelichenko's breaking in the left. That's a good ball from Durant. McSwagan's through the middle, so to his head late.
Ian Durant picks up the ball and plays an incredible through ball to Alexey Mikhailichenko in the left wing. A phenomenal pass. He puts the cross in to the box, a high cross, and there was McSwagan for his first touch. Hits a sort of high looping header, goes right, soars in the air, goes right into the top corner of the net to give Rangers the goal. 2-1. Like I said, first touch for McSwagan, absolutely fantastic. Rangers are back into it. We still have got approximately 15 minutes of the game left to try and get an equaliser here. 80th minute, it's all Rangers. Ian Durant picks up the ball from Alexey Mikhailichenko, hits a long-range shot, which is just over the bar. And then on the 82nd minute, Ibrox goes absolutely ballistic.
Still Marseille waiting to make the substitution. Referee allowing play to go on here. Durant to McSwagan. It's Durant again who's onside. Heathley's in the middle. Mark Heathley! 81 minutes gone! Mark Heathley!
Well, this is an astonishing turnaround in the game here. Rangers putting them under pressure. Swiggan knocks the ball through Ian Durant here. The appeals for offside. Durant whips it across, comes off the defender, lets top of Mark Heatley's head and he guides it into the back of the net. Astonishing turnaround in the game here. Little deflection off the defender. Falls beautifully for Mark Heatley, he knocks it into the back of the net.
Marseille have got the ball at their own right back area, but a tackle by Alexey Mikhailichenko of all people. He finds Ian Durant, who puts the ball into McSwagan. The cross is deflected low from the byline, so there's a cross put in. It gets deflected low, and Mark Heatley, most players would have tried to have hit it on the volley. No Mark Heatley. He dives down, bullet header, past Barthez to make it 2-2 to Rangers. Quite incredible. The scenes were unbelievable. And, you know, the iconic scene of Mark Heatley when he scored that second goal for Rangers, you know, jumping up the place, absolutely bouncing. Fantastic. Marseille, the stuffing knocked out of them completely, and Rangers really going for it. Marseille obviously thought at that point that they had to, you know, shut up shop at this stage. They put everybody back into defence, hoping to get Rangers, you know, to catch us on the break. It never happened, though, unfortunately, and the game fizzled out after that, you know, to have a final score of 2-2. But, Derek, at that stage, to be playing a team like Marseille, and this was before all the controversy came up of what happened after that tournament. Marseille, you know, obviously went on and won the, you know, the Champions League then, but they were an absolutely phenomenal team. You only have to look at the, you know, the names of the players, even to this day, still, you know, famous players, you know, still to this day, everybody knows how good, you know, players that they were in the team. And for us to come back for 2-0 down, you know, to draw 2-2, it was a fantastic night at Ibrox and certainly one that I'll, you know, always remember.
Cheats! I think it was a lot of...
Fucking cheats!
That kind of sums up what I think of that game.
Of Marseille?
Of Marseille, yes.
Yes, I know. We know that. The game in particular, though, Derek, was quite a phenomenal game. And, you know, the circumstances of us losing McCoys, then losing Goff, the character that was shown to come back for 2-0 down to get a point at Ibrox was just fantastic. And it's, as I say, it's a game that I will always remember.
Yeah, obviously I can't remember it, but that was round about the time when I was starting to get into football then, and by the end of the actual group stage, I remember my dad telling me about the whole away goals thing, and doesn't matter how many goals we score, and the point system as well, and but that game was, looking back in it, phenomenal to come back from 2-0 down, especially against, you know, that team at that stage. That wasn't a... anything to do with the referees, that was just pure determination getting back into the game. So
definitely,
you know, just as usual in Europe with our unluckiness, isn't it?
I know. It was good though to see, and it makes us appreciate now how good a player the likes of Mark Haitley was for us, Derek. I mean, in the air, I can't think of a better striker in the air than Mark Haitley. It was absolutely phenomenal. And he kind of goes under the radar a lot because I think, you know, a lot of the attention was taken away by Ali McCoist. But Mark Haitley was a tremendous striker for us. He really was. And especially going back into that, you know, watching that game, Marseille just couldn't handle him all night. He had a phenomenal game and, you know, it was great to watch. So again, I'm sure, you know, anybody listening, I'll, you know, there's an old bastard like me, I'll remember the game very well. But if you get the chance, if you've never seen it before, go back and watch it, because it was a tremendous game to watch.
I think when we go back and we do these European games, especially from the kind of 90s, throughout the 90s really, and we, at the time, I remember being absolutely gutted and embarrassed with some of the results, especially the likes against Juventus. But when you look back in it and you're thinking, they were probably the world's best players at the time.
They were, aye. No, they were.
So there was absolutely...
without a shadow of a doubt, they were, aye.
You know, there's absolutely no disgrace in getting beat, you know, sometimes heavily from these teams. So for us to hold their own and more sometimes against the likes of Marseille and all that was phenomenal. It shows you how big a powerhouse Rangers used to be. So hopefully at one point we can get back to being like that, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of change in the way UEFA unfairly treat, you know, some leagues like the league in Scotland. So
sorry, once we get our victory tonight and the victory away at Porto, Derek, it'll be fine. Well, that'll prove to everybody that we are back as a main sort of top European side after that.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll go now on to the news. So a few bits and pieces to cover here. First thing is yesterday or today, whatever, when you'll ever listen to this and get the whole podcast out, is Rangers were back in court with Sports Direct.
The elephant in the room.
It appeared to be more of a kind of like a mediation session with trying to, for the judge trying to get both parties together to agree some sort of compensation, which never happened. So there's been an agreement to go back to court in January, apparently, and the courts will make a ruling on this one. It was a bit of a cop-out, I think, from the judge in the first place. I thought that it was up to the judge to decide, but maybe this is a new way they like to do things and waste court's time, which apparently the judges intimated that both sides are more or less, you know, just wasting time now. And
yes,
he was appalled at both of them. So it's, well, we've said it before, can Sports Direct no just fuck off? Can they no just say, right, we'll take £5 million and that'll be it, done and dusted, we're fucking off and we're no never to grace your door again? It's more principle with them now, clearly now, and, you know, we're obviously going to fight our case. I think we've fucked up somewhere, it looks like, with James Blair and what he's not done and, or what he should have done. It's about finding, you know, a common ground just to say, fuck off now, basically. You know, it's costing them money, it's costing us money, it's not looking good for anybody. Sports Direct have got their own issues to worry about rather than fighting us all the time. You know, when's it going to end? It's going to roll on for years. We are obviously digging our heels in because they still owe us money from dividends from the dodgy deal that they agreed with us, and they still owe us money for that. So quite rightly, we're digging our heels in with that one. But you know, it's really now just getting beyond a joke with Sports Direct. Well, all to be seen what's going to happen in January. That'll be around about the time when we need to agree some sort of other deal with another manufacturer. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
However, some good news is we've announced a partnership agreement with Indian side Bengaluru FC. We're now going to have an active presence in the Indian football market with scouting links, as well as setting up academies and fan engagement there. It's a great commercial opportunity, if anything else. You know, maybe not so much on the football side, but commercially, there's 1.3 billion people in there.
That's right, yes.
I know not all of them are going to have access to TV and you know, and things like that, but it's an untapped area in terms of commercial. But obviously as well, you've got to look at, you know, the footballing side. It's an emerging place now as well, so you might get unearth some gems there that are just looking to play football. And, you know, commercially, it's going to be a massive thing. So it can only be benefit Rangers in that respect.
Definitely. I mean, me and you have spoken about this, you know, for a long time, Derek, and I think the two of us have been sort of really miffed the fact that we haven't had some sort of foothold in, you know, the United States because of the amount of ex-players that have played for the United States. I mean, that's a massive market over there. So I'm just glad that, you know, that we're just starting to tap into the market of other countries that have got massive populations as well. And here's hoping that they're all football mad, Derek, and they see us as being a team to cheer on and things like that. But it's, you know, you see a lot of teams go, you know, over to the Far East, you know, in places like Malaysia and China and things like that, where, you know, these countries have got massive populations. So just like you said, it's, you know, hopefully it's going to be good commercially for us, you know, because they do have, you know, so many people over there that, you know, could hopefully be putting money in, buying replica strips and, you know, tuning in to RTV and things like that, you know, and have a genuine interest in the club. So fingers crossed it's a big success.
Yep. Next thing here, Zach Rudden has returned to us for treatment on a knee injury he's picked up while on loan to Plymouth. So I don't know if that's him effectively ended his loan or he's just getting it treatment here and then he'll go back down, but hopefully that's a speedy recovery there, because a promising youngster.
Yep.
Next thing, Grezda has been fined for the spitting incident we talked about in the last podcast. Gerrard has said he's had a word with him, and he also stated that he's never said he would never play for us again. So I don't know where that's came from, but you know, he's got to be on his last legs and his last chance surely with us as well. You know, he came with an injury, he's not kind of played, he's, and any time he has played, he's been largely garbage. So I can only think his time is going to be limited with us.
Yeah. We spoke about it on the last one, Derek. I'd be surprised if we ever see him in a Rangers shirt again.
Yeah, absolutely, but need to wait and see. Next thing here is, after Gerrard quite rightly had a go at Scotland and Steve Clarke over their handling of Ryan Jack's injury the last international games, Jack has been included in the next set of games in the middle of the month. Clarke has accepted it was miscommunication on Scotland and his part, but he still had to have a dig, saying that Gerrard should have dealt with it privately rather than public.
Aye.
Much like how Clarke dealt with the whole singing against them, you know, when he was at Ibrox and things like that, you know, hypocritical, but I expect nothing less from opponents of us.
Yes, it's, you know, he's been recalled again into the squad, Derek, and he was waxing lyrical about him, Steve Clarke, about, you know, he deserves his chance and he's been fantastic and all of that, but you know, I just hope it doesn't turn into a disaster for him. I've said before, I want to see our players playing international football because it shows you how far that we have came. But I think playing for Scotland is a bit of a thankless task now, unfortunately, especially for our players, you know, either from certain sections of the support that seem to have a go at any players that play for Rangers, or the fact that he got injured the last time as well. So we'll just have to wait and see. I'm pleased for him. It's shown you how well that he's playing, that he is, getting into the Scotland team. But whether he actually gets a game or not, I don't know if he will or not, Derek. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep. 39-year-old Gareth McAuley has hung up his boots after 23 years in the game. So obviously, yep, he finished his career with us, and he was delighted. He gave a kind of comment on it, and he was delighted to play for the teams he's played for, especially his boyhood heroes who were us. So
yeah,
wish him well in whatever he goes on to do.
Definitely, yep.
Former player Fraser Aird has joined Cove Rangers until January, so that's quite an interesting one there.
Yeah.
Certainly Cove Rangers, the newly promoted side, got a bit of money behind them and are kind of flying high there now as well in the second division.
Yep, I saw that myself, yep. So yep, I was quite surprised also, but they are, I don't know if they've got a 100% record or no, but good to see them back playing for a Rangers, eh?
Yeah, of some kind. A bit of a strange one here. UEFA have accepted Porto's claim that when their ultra shouted monkey into a megaphone during their game against Young Boys, it was about the nickname of the ultra's leader and not directed at one of the Young Boys players.
I smell bullshit, do you?
Oh man, I'm lost for words with that one, I really am.
Unbelievable, aye.
So, British man dies of suspected heart attack while watching adult film in Italian sex shop.
Right.
Shouldn't really laugh at this, a guy's died after all, but... A British man has died while watching porn in a sex shop in Italy. The 60-year-old, who was not named, was on a cycling holiday when he parked up outside the sex shop in Marghera near Venice on Friday afternoon.
As you do.
As you do. After paying €5 for 15 minutes of film watching time, he headed to the private booth and locked the door. However, staff became concerned after he hadn't re-emerged for more than 30 minutes.
Oh my God, right.
Owner Franco Garoni said that they found the man collapsed on the floor upon entering the booth. Speaking to The Sun, of all papers, I had seen him before and he came in after leaving his bike outside. He was cycling through on his way to Venice and he asked about watching a sex film, so I showed him to the booth and he paid the €5. That gives you 15 minutes and a red light comes on to show it's busy. But when he didn't come out after half an hour, we had to have a look and see and he was collapsed on the floor. Thinking about it, he did seem a little tired when he came in.
And was he stiff?
Staff called for an ambulance, but paramedics were unable to revive the man, who was pronounced dead at the scene and transported to a local mortuary. Police are apparently investigating the circumstances. In 2016, a man in Detroit died after being distracted by porn on his phone while driving. I think we've covered this one in a previous story, to be honest. Clifford Ray Jones, 58, was killed instantly when his 1996 Toyota crashed when he was ejected through the sunroof of his car. Police found his body.
It was a fucking Winnie James Bond's car or something like that. He was ejected out of the sunroof.
He ejaculated, then he was ejected. He was ejaculated.
So, how... I'm trying to... He was ejected out of his sunroof.
Yes.
Right.
Police found his body, which was naked from the waist down, near the car.
Oh, my God. At least the two of them died with a smile on their face, Derek.
Well, exactly.
Ejected out of his sunroom. Oh dear.
I'm sure we've covered that one before anyway.
Oh my God.
So,
right, okay.
On that note,
yes,
we'll end the podcast there. So as ever, if you want to check out our social media pages, if you go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, there you can find all the links to our social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, Spotify, YouTube, the whole lot. So, as I've mentioned previously, Dave is away on his travels, so we will not be back for a good few weeks yet. As I said, hopefully just after the Hearts game, just after the Porto game, I think it will be. If not, it will be just before the Ross County game. So,
How many games did we say there'll be, Derek, roughly?
At least four, if not six.
Six games. So here's hoping that we are covering six victories, Derek.
Yes, absolutely. So, on that note, thanks very much for listening, and goodbye.
Take care, folks, and we will be back soon.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.